Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here in Lafayette, Indiana, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team over in West Lafayette will take on Purdue. Nittany Lions come in ranked 13th in the nation in search of their seventh consecutive win. Purdue is looking to make it four in a row. They are 10-2 at Mackey, and Mackey is a great place to play basketball. It's always been a great place for Purdue to play basketball. But then again, they are a team that has always had the talent to play at home, too. They love to shoot the three. Seven of the nine guys that they put out there can shoot the three. So let's get to last night's dueling announcers. The Suit, along with the incomparable Chief on radio, and Matt on TV. We're understanding that the ratings are really tilting in your direction.
Yeah, it was pretty good overall last night. It was a good game for us to call, too. Southern Columbia won with 4 seconds to go on a game-winning three.
Wow. It's exciting.
Yeah, it was a good back-and-forth game.
Yeah, and you know, I mean the ratings are showing that, I mean, there's a lot of Cotrillo love, I mean, for the future voice of Shikellamy football. No?
I guess so.
See, even you're starting to get on board with what I'm talking about.
You're convincing me more and more each day.
Oh, just listen to the broadcast. It'll convince you. No! Not true. I've got awards. I just wonder how it went. You know, I mean, it's a tough spot for you to be in.
Young, all went well on my end.
Young, highly skilled television. You know, a little bit older, kind of fading, going toward management. Controls your destiny and career. Kind of a tough spot for you to be in.
But he gave me some helping hands last night. He got me into Shikellamy's locker room beforehand and talked to Coach and gave me a couple other nuggets. So, yeah, I do give him some credit for my help, for my part of my game prep last night.
Yeah, I heard the nuggets were about Midwest, but don't let them know. No. That's good. That's really good. All right, so here tonight for this one. Big Ten has been wild and crazy to this point. The one team nationally that is starting to emerge here is Baylor. And there's some really good teams this year. Is there a great team? There may be somebody at the end that when this whole thing is decided that will be anointed a great team. But Baylor is really good. Obviously, Kansas is really good. Now, they'll get D'Souza back in the last regular season game. Now, D'Souza is not a great player, but it will put another good player. You know, like I said, he's not a great player, but he's a good player. They'll put another good player back into the rotation, and it'll give him a regular season game to get some of the rust out before the Big 12 tournament starts. San Diego State is a really good team. They haven't lost yet. Louisville is a really good team. And outside of the Power Six, because I'll include the Big East in the Power Six. And the Big East is a better conference than the Pac-12. In fact, the Big East and the Big Ten are probably the two deepest conferences this year. But outside of that, Dayton is a team that you need to consider taking a long, hard look at. Dayton's very, very good. But it is a year without, at the moment, a great team. Duke has had a great week. The win at North Carolina, where they are down and seemingly out, and resurrect the game, tie it at the wire as Jones deliberately missed the free throw and then hit the shot. Then in overtime, they take the lead. North Carolina, to its credit, comes back and they go in front, and it looks like with 16 seconds to go, they've got it. And then Duke still comes back and on the final play wins on a layup. Last night they played Florida State. So here they are in 48 hours having to play North Carolina and then playing Florida State. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they played on the road at North Carolina. It's only 8 miles back to Durham. So they didn't exhaust themselves on the bus. It's like going from Bellefonte to State College. And but they played Florida State last night. And as you know, in the picks, Matt, on Friday, I talked about, you know, like I thought Florida State was going to win. Because I think Florida State's been playing great. And Florida State went in there, and it was a close game. I mean, when we got to the hotel last night, I had a little issue with my room. It took me about an hour to get my room last night.
Oh, geez.
So I was watching the lobby TV, watching the game as I was then making treks back and forth to potential rooms that weren't mine.
Well, at least there was that.
Well, like, I don't know, the game's 57-57, that's 58-57. It's like, holy mackerel. But Duke won last night. So now Duke, which is seventh, they're starting to play really well. Maryland's the Big Ten leader. They're a game up on Penn State right now in the standings. Maryland's 9-3, Penn State's 8-4. Maryland's ranked ninth. And by the way, Penn State, you know, file it away for down the road if it ever becomes a possibility. But Penn State, of course, has the tiebreaker on Maryland. Okay, they had one meeting this year, and Penn State won it. That's the number one tiebreaker. But Maryland is playing really well. To go to Illinois, to Champaign, and to win like that on Friday night, that was impressive. That was impressive. But you've got some balance in college basketball. But we've also started to hit a point where some separation is happening. And I think that separation point started to be February 1st. In the Big Ten, for example, let's take Rutgers, for example. Rutgers has been loaded up on home games left and right. Now Rutgers is going to have the schedule balance out. They've got some road games coming up here down the stretch. We'll see how it plays out for them. Michigan State's trying to get itself back on track. Started the year ranked number one. Now at the moment they're out of the top 25. Now these rankings are nice, but the rankings are not going to factor in when the committee sits down. Oh, you're the 13th ranked team in the country. You're the 13th seed. That's not how it works. Manager already wants to order me food. I'll tell him I'm good. Ooh, Scotty's closed. This is not good, man. As Dick says, a sad day.
Restaurant of choice?
Scotty's Brew Pub? Yes. It's been next to the hotel we used to stay in. At least I know he's in town. He and his brother. I've got dueling Girardis tonight. Because Joe's with him. Joe's a great guy. And so is his brother, Jack. Dick's brother, Jack, great guy. Joe, great guy. But there's one other brother. I've never met him. But you're starting to get some separation that you're seeing in college basketball. I think that really began February 1st. And since February 1st, you've seen Baylor continue to win. You've seen Kansas continue to win. San Diego State continue to win. Louisville, Dayton, Duke winning now, Maryland winning, Penn State winning. You're seeing, you know, since February 1st, more of that pattern emerging in college basketball if you take a closer look at it. And that's why I think the stretch run is going to be interesting. But I think some of that interest has already started to happen. Now, Gonzaga's been playing great. I don't think I mentioned Gonzaga. They went to St. Mary's the other night. And that, in the West Coast Conference, that's the game. Gonzaga, St. Mary's. BYU's a little bit in that mix, but the game. Okay? And they walked into St. Mary's in Northern California there, and they ran them out of the building. Gonzaga ran them out. Gonzaga's playing great. I failed to mention them because, obviously, you know, at one point they were ranked number one. I think the only team that beat Gonzaga this season is Michigan, I believe. That was early in the year at a tournament. All right, we will come back. Great to have you with us. We're brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones, along with the future voice of Shikellamy football, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford is coming off with their best-selling year in its 105-year history. SMC is committed to Ford Motor Company to sell 1,000 new Fords in 2020. Wow! Pick from 25 of the totally redesigned 2020 Ford Escapes, and they start as low as $21,960. Take up to $7,500 off MSRP of the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer, and they're priced from just $33,965. Sunbury Motors is Central PA's truck capital. Choose from over 120 Ford F-150s and Super Duties. Super Duty. The F-Series truck has been the number one selling vehicle for 43 consecutive years, and SMC has them on sale for as low as $26,794. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley's transportation needs for over a century.
When...
And back here on the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Cotrillo here with you. Steve is mobile today from Lafayette.
Mobile, whatever you want to call it. It's great to have you with us here on the show today. Penn State, Purdue coming up tonight. We'll talk with Mike Kramer from the Lafayette Journal-Courier a little bit later in the show today. Neil Coulong, I need to get Neil's read on the XFL. The XFL is... at 1 week in. Do I think it makes it all 10 weeks? Yes. By about 5 weeks, I think we'll have a pretty good read on whether they'll get a second season. But it's off to media-wise, can you ask for a group to have a better media situation than the XFL got between Fox and ESPN? And they've got, you know, some games on ESPN 2, some on Fox Sports 1, but mostly they're on Fox, ABC, and ESPN. That's a pretty good deal, Matt.
Definitely. And as I said yesterday, some big names in calling those games. So on Fox, you had Kurt Menefee. You mentioned Kevin Burkhardt did the Matt McGloin's game with Tampa Bay in New York.
Yeah.
So that's helpful, but for me personally, I just need to see more.
Oh, I think everybody needs to see more, but I think they're, you know, you can only do the first weekend and then assess whether they're off to a good start or not. I think they're off to a good start. I mean, they're off to a good start. Attendance-wise, So we'll see how it plays out. It's one thing about the USFL. I always felt like the USFL, like, for example, Tampa Bay, they drew really great. They really did. Tampa Bay, there was a season where the Tampa Bay Bandits outdrew the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How about that? I mean, because Spurrier was the coach. They played a fun brand of football. Meanwhile, the Bucks were playing Bucks football, which that was not fun. You know, the question will be whether this league can deliver a Tampa Bay Bandits, Houston Gamblers kind of fun, or even the Philadelphia Stars. You know, then of course it became the Baltimore Stars. But you know, can they do that? And we'll see if they can draw some crowds that go with it. I mean, the crowds looked like they were okay, but it's also the opening weekend, so they're okay. And I think that's what it was. A good start and okay. I thought it was fascinating to listen to the replay booth. As to how they go, I mean, if I'm the NFL or I'm college football, it wouldn't bother me if they showed that. I mean, I think it's we talk about interesting. It is absolutely interesting to hear what they're talking about, as opposed to all of us sitting there and endlessly speculating about it. I mean, what the heck? I mean, I'd be. You know, I wouldn't mind if they had that kind of hookup, and then we could tap into it radio-wise on the radio network. You know, there was the one where it was the fumble, and it was picked up and run back to the half-yard line. So the first part they had to see was whether or not he caught the ball, because he can't have a fumble unless it's a catch. And the first thing he says is, oh, boy, this is going to be tough. Well, that tells you right away that the potential is there for stands as caught. Okay. But it was at least fascinating to listen to it. Remember, most leagues evolve over time in part because new leagues come in and try out some new ideas that the old league, in some cases, establishes. The ability to throw the red flag and challenge a play started in the USFL. Replay started in the USFL. The three-point shot started in the ABA. There's one rule the WHA had, where on power plays, you couldn't clear the puck and ice it unless you cleared your own blue line, then you could ice it. NHL never adopted that. But you know, usually new rules evolve from new leagues. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us here in Lafayette, Indiana, where Penn State takes on Purdue tonight. Purdue 14 and 10, won three in a row. Really, what jump-started them in a lot of ways was that incredible comeback at Northwestern last week. Yeah, the game was, it seemed like, given up for a loss. And they rallied down the stretch in Evanston in the waning moments, won it. Then Iowa came in here, and they clobbered Iowa, 104-68. I mean, clobbered them. And then on a day where Bob Knight went to Assembly Hall, even talked to the team before the game, Purdue then went out and beat Indiana, 74-62. Shoot the three very well. Seven of their nine guys that they'll play tonight can shoot the three. So that's, and we'll talk with Mike a little bit later in the show. So, talk to him a little bit later in the show. And, by the way, if you're wondering about the broadcast tonight, Shikellamy Wrestling gets us started first, and then they'll join the basketball broadcast in progress on radio. Is that how it works?
That is correct. So hopefully we'll be in sometime midway through the second half.
So what time does wrestling start?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Belfond coming to town.
Belfond. Very nice. All right. So that is coming up tonight. And 33 days to Selection Sunday. 33. Getting there. I think once, it usually, college basketball does everything it can, in my opinion, to get people interested at different times. And you got a 31-game regular season schedule, then you start postseason, it's game 32. So, in the 32 games, it's a long season. But I think college basketball has always done everything it can to get people interested. The opening games of the season, you got Kansas and Kentucky and Michigan State, and they open up with that. The holiday tournaments you play in usually have some pretty good, like I mentioned how Gonzaga and Michigan played. Michigan's the only team to beat Gonzaga this season, right? Well, they only played because it was in a holiday tournament. Penn State played Syracuse this year. Holiday tournament. They've got that. The Big Ten has the ACC Challenge. Okay. There's the Gavitt game. So you're going to play a Big East team this year. Penn State played at Georgetown. Big win. And still a quad one win for Penn State. Then you get to conference play. And more conferences are doing what the Big Ten has done by scheduling conference games at the front. So Penn State had two conference games at the front at Ohio State, then Maryland. With the advent of the ACC network, did you notice this year, Matt, that the opening night of the season happened to be ACC games?
I didn't notice that.
Conference games, and that was because of the advent of the ACC network.
But see, that's smart.
Yeah, and that's what, and you could do that because you're playing with extra games. I mean, the Big Ten, for example, plays a 20-game schedule. So college basketball will have made-for-TV events, made-for-TV to get better matchups along the way. And then conference play gets going, and you've got some really great matchups. Yet, the perception of college basketball does not kick in until after the Super Bowl. That's why, if you notice, North Carolina and Duke, they play home and away every year, right? Well, you notice they didn't play each other at all until after the Super Bowl was played. Because to most people, that is when their interest in college basketball now kicks in. And a lot of people are discovering Baylor's good, Gonzaga's good, San Diego. Now, a lot of people haven't seen San Diego State yet. You have to, every once in a while, you can catch them on ESPN, but you see a lot of them on CBS Sportsnet. You're always assuming Gonzaga is going to be good, so you're not surprised about that. Louisville's really good. And then you've got, obviously, Duke is now playing really well. Florida State's been playing great, but Duke beat them last night, as I mentioned. You found out now, I think most people have known for the last 3 or 4 weeks, North Carolina's not playing well because it's been a story. And then Maryland is playing really well. People know Penn State's playing really well. In fact, Penn State was the NABC National Team of the Week that came out today. Illinois has played well. Rutgers has been a good story so far to this point. The depth of the Big Ten, the depth of the Big East. People are more discovering that now. But what I'm going to need help from you on, Matt, is what is the Bucknell story to this point? Because a Patriot League team can be undefeated in Patriot League play and win the and then get to the championship game and lose and will not get an at-large bid. It's just the way it is.
Right. Well, this year with the Patriot League, it's not very strong as it's been in years past. I think Colgate is probably the favorite and will be the favorite again. And I think it's probably them and everybody else is down on a second tier. And Colgate made some noise last year. That they played pretty well in their opening round game with Tennessee before Tennessee pulled away.
Well, I didn't say a Patriot League team can't win in the NCAA tournament. Bucknell's proven that. Lehigh's proven that.
Right.
And you can win in the tournament. That's not, but you can't get an at-large bid. It's not going to happen. Unless you have a great non-conference. Unless you have a great non-conference, you can't. Because the problem is going to be, and this comes into play with, who would it come into play with? Oh, it would come into play with Gonzaga. So let's talk about that. Gonzaga has to load up in its non-conference schedule. They have to. Because their conference is not going to help them. It's not going to help them at all. Gonzaga, which is, 25-1. But you know what their schedule rank is? 138. Now, why is it 138? Because of their conference. So in their conference, right? Okay, they've had non-conference games against Oregon, Michigan, Washington, Arizona, North Carolina. They did that deliberately, plus Texas A&M's in there too. But when they get to the conference, they play Portland, 277. Pepperdine, 142. San Diego, not San Diego State, San Diego, 216. Loyola Marymount, 211. Santa Clara, 135. Then they play BYU, which is 17. Pacific, 130. Santa Clara, 135. San Francisco, 91. Loyola Marymount, 211. St. Mary's, 37. They still have to play in the regular season. Pepperdine, 142. San Francisco, 91. BYU, in Provo at the Marriott Center, 17. San Diego, 216. St. Mary's, 37. Gonzaga's schedule is 138. 138. And that's an issue when you are a Gonzaga. You have to be able to then set up your non-con in such a way that allows you to stay as a power. Penn State, conversely, has a strength of schedule of 22. Which now brings us to Bucknell. And Bucknell right now, we know Bucknell's been struggling. They're trying to snap a four-game losing streak. But let's just take strength of schedule. Bucknell's strength of schedule is 255, which is average for a Patriot League team. Is Bucknell this year, their non-conference schedule included at Penn State, at Syracuse, Yale, on a neutral floor, Princeton, which is very good. But it's not enough to compensate for the conference schedule. The conference schedule, their conference schedule right now looks like this. Army 228, Lafayette 237, Navy 221, Holy Cross 233, American 230, Lehigh 231, Colgate 223, Loyola 232, Army 225, BU 231, Lafayette 250, Loyola Maryland 252. Okay? That's why I remember when Buhner was on, and Buhner was talking about, why can't a Patriot League team get an at-large bid? You can't because you don't have the strength of schedule to do it. Your conference doesn't open the door for you to have the strength of schedule to do that. And that's the reason why. Gonzaga had to load up on, non-con to do that. Had to load up on it. But that's the reason why. Is it fair? Is it fair? That's a good question. Is it fair? I think at some point you have to try to objectively look at a team and ask if they're good enough to get in advance. I think you have to do that. The problem is that in a league like the Patriot League, as to why they can't, if you could run through the Patriot and boom, you, how many Patriot League games they play? 16?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. If you go through 16 and 0 the whole thing, you win your first two games in the conference tournament, your quarter and your semi, okay? And then you lose the championship game, all right? Should that team get it, be considered for an at-large bid? The problem is that you've now gone 2 to 2.5 months of playing all teams that are ranked 220 or higher or lower, 220 or lower. That's the problem of 2 full months plus of playing teams that are ranked 220 or lower. And not only that, here's the other part that kills your chance at an at-large bid if you're the Patriot. Okay? Where did you lose your championship game? You lost it at home. Because if you win 16-0, you're the home team. Right? See, all that conspires against you. Gonzaga does enough in the non-con, and I think also as the rep. Okay, and you can just, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to watch Gonzaga play and go, whoo, they're pretty good. Okay, let's get to the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week. How about Nick Lee? Has he been, and he shares the honor with Mason Paris, so I'm sure it was just awesome this week. Lee dominates two opponents this week. He's ranked number 2 in the nation by Intermat. He had a 14-1 major decision over number 7, Tristan Moran of Wisconsin in the 29-10 win on Friday night. Then Sunday, he pinned number 5, Mitch McKee of Minnesota in the first period at the 156 mark. Nick Lee is now 16-0 in the season, with 15 of those victories earning bonus points. He has 4 pins, 7 techs, 4 majors this season. Now don't forget on Saturday, this will be a lot of fun. It's going to be a basketball wrestling day night separate admission doubleheader. Penn State will face Northwestern at noon in basketball, and then wrestling with Ohio State in the Jordan Center Saturday night at 7:30. How about that? You could have 30,000 people go through the turnstiles in one day at the BJC. I know they're selling the upper deck now for basketball for Saturday with Northwestern, and wrestling sells out at Penn State no matter what. But Penn State's ranked number 2, Ohio State's number 3, 7:30 Saturday night in the Jordan Center. Nick Lee, Big Ten Wrestler of the Week. You know, I haven't seen that kind of scrambling and grappling since the suit was trying to take the mic away from you last night. All right, well, I mean, very impressive. He scares you a little bit, doesn't he?
It depends on the day.
And back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So on the show today, it is looking more and more, by the way, that Ron Renneke, who at one point managed the Milwaukee Brewers, is going to be named the interim manager of the Red Sox. The question I'm going to have about that, and he's been the bench coach the last 2 years, is that an indication from the Red Sox they think they're going to be okay in this investigation? In other words, the guy who was the bench coach is being elevated to interim manager. So I'm wondering if they think that they're going to be able to get through this. Major League Baseball, by the way, will not have the Red Sox decision this week. So that's not going to happen this week. And it doesn't mean they're innocent by any means. But you might not have the same level of cooperation that maybe the Astros gave. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying that the fact that Renicki's going to get the job, at least on an interim basis, might indicate that they think they're okay, because obviously he's the bench coach. He was right there. So we'll find out about that. We'll find out. And then, Matt, you've got some public address announced duties tomorrow night, right?
Yep, Bucknell women still back at home. That's at 6 o'clock tomorrow night at Soika.
And how's the gang doing over there?
Everything's going great. They are still in first place, one game up right now. They had a big bounce-back win against Loyola at home. They crushed them on Saturday, so look to keep things rolling on Wednesday, tomorrow night.
Yeah, the only thing I know to this point is, I guess, what UConn's lost a couple games, Oregon and South Carolina. And somebody wrote a story, and I didn't even really take the time to read it, about what's gone wrong with the dynasty or something like that. I didn't bother reading it. But I hope that Gino Auriemma is taking it well, because over the years, everybody else has taken it well when he defeated them. Now you know how the other guy thinks, or how the other person's thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Navy coming to town tomorrow.
Navy tomorrow. Okay. Very good. I told you the cello story about Navy, right? And the player. Have I told you that story?
I don't think so.
He takes the job at Navy. Hey, look, and there's only X amount of time that you can have with players, because you're at the Naval Academy. So, one day Ed's having practice. I don't know what time it was, 6 o'clock. He only has X amount. That's it. He's getting ready, just about ready to go out on the practice floor with the team. The guys are out warming up. One guy's not there yet. Guy finally shows up. He's soaking wet. Soaking wet. And Ed looks at him and says, "All right, you know how Ed is. What's your problem?" And he looks at him and he says, "Seal maneuvers in the river." "Okay." "Take your time, dry off, suit up."
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that, no offense, I don't think that happens over at Gonzaga. Mark Few. "Hey, what's your problem? Seal maneuvers in the river." "No, I don't think so. You're lying." "Neville Academy?" "Yep." "Out there in the river, seal maneuvers. Now I'll play basketball." Tremendous. You gotta figure basketball's gotta be fun for the academy guys. I know that they're usually no better than okay at it, but I would think sports has gotta be fun, because I think everybody needs a release along the way. Matt's got little Luke. I've always had family and played golf or whatever, a little bit of release. The suit polishes up his awards. It's like everybody has a release. Did I tell you what Sean and I were going to do for Christmas at the party this year?
Oh, geez.
We were going to buy him 3 pins. Look what we saw standing up. Neil Coolong next half hour.